From the First Midwest Bank Studio on State Street, this is WMVP WSHE-HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Hey, girl.
Go back in the Wayback Machine right here. This is the start of our show. Waddle and Sylvie. Inside the First Midwest Bank Studio.
Forget the name of the show there for a second?
No, because of the intro. It used to be the intro for the O-Mac, Yurko, and Harry show.
Sound like you were about to wobble on what the name of this one was.
I was about to throw something at you or push you in the studio.
Please do.
If we were.
Please do.
It'd be them. Oh, the
sun's out.
The sun is out on State Street right now. It's nice to see. It's warm out. For relatively speaking.
Keep an eye on it. A couple hours from now, it won't be out any longer.
Oh, yeah, the darkness. The early darkness. It's dark.
Literally and figuratively.
4:15, 4:20. Yeah. That's where I want to start. I want to start with these these time things, yes. Yeah. These time stamping things. First of all, there's a 4-minute farewell that has made its way onto social media from Brian Kelly.
Yeah, I don't know what people are expecting to, you know? I mean, it's just, I'm sure everyone's got a thought, an opinion, and they're all very valid, but, like, I saw it this morning. I thought it was, I mean, what more were you looking for or thinking you were going to get? This is a football coach who's decided to take his you know, stuff to another town. I mean,
he broke up with you.
He broke up with you.
A breakup supposed to be, like, the negotiations are over after you broke up, right? The breakup should be crisp and clean.
Yeah, like, I mean, I get it. In a perfect world, there's sunshine. You know, everyone's having a nice cup of coffee. There's some back pat, you know, patting on the back and maybe some patting on the head. And everything is delicious. But that's not real life.
So to give you context, when Brian Kelly, it was announced, it surprised everyone Monday night. The news broke during Black and Abdallah. And everyone was pretty much surprised with the earlier the day rumor that, hey, Brian Kelly is talking to LSU. Would he stay through at least the playoff, like a lot of people say? And no, the answer was no. He's off now, even though they have a chance to go to the playoffs still. And first there was a report that he met with his team for first there was a text, okay? So it leaked through social media. That's how everyone found out.
Welcome to 2021, everybody. Like, what was he supposed to do? Everyone got like, oh my God, he sent this callous text to his players. The story broke. Like, did you want him just to remain silent? Like, again, there's no perfect way to do this, in my opinion.
No, he was looking out for number one.
Ball coaches do.
That's what Brian Kelly does.
Yes, Brian Kelly's definitely looking after Brian Kelly.
And I heard Carmen talk about this, and he said, look, Carmen was saying, I don't even like Brian Kelly, and he was defending him. So, okay, so he goes and he takes the LSU job. He's 60 years old. He wants to have a shot.
$9.5 million a year.
He's getting paid, and he wants to try in the SEC at a school where the previous three coaches have all won championships. So then he comes back and he meets with the team. And then there's a report from yesterday morning. He met with the team for 11 minutes. And there were some that were even criticizing an 11-minute meeting. And then the video came out today. Nothing is sacred anymore. There's always someone taping you. When you're in a grocery store, wherever you are being taped. You are being watched. And his speech, which we have, it's not crystal clear because it's being shot from far away and secretively,
right?
Yeah,
I saw it this morning.
He speaks for almost 4 minutes.
Thought he touched pretty much all the topics.
But I don't, like, this is where I don't think people understand how long talking for 4 minutes really is.
Wait, what more is there to say?
Like, if I equate it to a wedding speech, right? No one wants a 4-minute best man speech.
No, sit down.
No one wants a 4-minute toast at a wedding.
Sit down.
Too long, too much. You're not going to hold my attention.
I heard somebody also say he didn't take any questions. This wasn't a lecture. Like, what did you expect again?
Town hall meeting?
Yes, this is not like, and again, please don't mistake what I'm saying. I'm not sitting here you know, carrying the water for Brian Kelly. Like, I'm with Carmen. The majority of my watching of Brian Kelly, what I see, really good football coach. His face is purple because he's screaming obscenities at 20-year-old college football players. Like, yeah, he doesn't seem... I've never had any interaction with him personally.
Did you see the flip-off picture that was unveiled? Yeah. This guy had this picture for 7 years, this photographer.
And he held it.
And he held it until he left. I would love to sit down with Tommy Rees one day and find out that, because he MF'd Tommy Rees so much when Tommy Rees was a quarterback.
I mean, we could probably facilitate that. I drove Tommy home from homecoming one time.
And Tommy's dad is Bill Rees.
One of the best guys I've ever come across in football.
One of the best guys ever. Yeah. He was the director of college scouting for the Bears under Mark Hatley.
Yes.
So little Tommy Rees used to throw the football around after Bears practice in 1999.
Then became the starting quarterback for Lake Forest High School.
Right, and then became the starting quarterback of Notre Dame. And now, after all the flip-offs and MFing, he's become Brian Kelly's offensive coordinator.
Last several years, yeah. And Brian Kelly's been very loyal to him.
It's incredible.
It's a good story. But again, like, I'm not sitting here telling you he's the nicest guy in the world. These are football coaches. Like, they're singularly focused, in most instances, football coaches. They're not CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. They coach football. So it's more likely than not what you're going to get in some instances is some rough around the edges moments when things go on. But I watched this earlier today, and I'm with you 100%. My first thought was, I think he hit all the... He sounded appreciative. He took a good tone with everybody. I thought he covered all the bases. I don't know why you would want him to hang around for any longer than what he talks.
If you want a sampling, look, this is 4 minutes. I listened to it when they played it on Carmen and Yurko today, and I was listening on 100.3 HD2.
Yeah.
Right, there's a little behind the scenes of technology. 100.3 on FM, we've told you about it for the last several months. Crystal clear HD radio. AM isn't as clear. Many people still listen to us on ESPN 1000. It was tough for me to hear on crystal clear HD because this is secret, right? This is secretly being shot by a player.
Yeah.
So before we criticize how long or how warm he may have been, I mean, what about secretly taping these?
I just think
coach to team addresses.
Yeah, I mean, like...
And we're all freely playing it.
None of what transpires anymore in the world of college football, because I look at college football in the same light as I look at the NFL. It's a business. So I get what you're saying. I mean, you would think some things would be sacred. They're really not anymore. I'm not outraged by any of this stuff on any front.
I mean, but are we going to get to the point wherever we go? Someone said this. We had a meeting with Great Clips today, and I love those people. Love seeing those people. Big partner with the show. It's going to be great. And someone said there's going to be, everywhere we go, a cell phone valet, right? You're going to have to park your cell phone. And on a lot of concerts you go to, a lot of comedy shows, they make you do that. And they've made you do that for a while. But now they may make you do that everywhere because everyone's shooting everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's the unfortunate environment we live in. Social media... What have I said? Everybody together now will eventually be the downfall of our system.
When are we going to get the Matt Nagy farewell from a Bears player?
I'm not sure about that, but I will. This is a conversation for later in the show. I'm pretty confident that change is on the horizon.
For the Bears? Oh, good, good. We'll talk about that.
Good size change.
And we'll give you the quarterback thing. This is a little sampling of Kelly. Tell me if you could live with this.
Morning, guys. Thanks for getting up here in short order, short notice. As you know, I sent out a text last night trying to give you as much notice as possible given the circumstances that we all know that happened relative to social media and information getting out. And look, I know we've been through this together. I've recruited virtually everybody in this room. And I want to be able to tell you face to face why we're at where we're at, and that is very simply
I want to leave you.
The past 12 years have been the most
your mother and I don't love each other anymore
for me and my family,
right?
Being here in Notre Dame,
magical in what we've been able to build with the most incredible student athletes, the ones that I'm looking at right now. And so many times people look at for a reason to blame, or there was a reason for something. There was nothing here but first class and everything that Notre Dame has done. For me and my family.
So, you know, it's distant. He's talking about how good.
He goes, I mean, the tenor of the conversation or the presentation remains the same. He's very appreciative. He's very respectful. His tone is the way it is.
You're one of the best four teams in the country.
Yeah.
You guys are the best student athletes in the country. I need a new challenge. You know, I would have liked him to say, is it gonna, I couldn't pass up the money. I would always advise you guys to go for an opportunity that you see.
Remember,
in your future.
Jack Swarbrick introduced him, so like you know, Swarbrick is still in the room. So maybe out of respect to him, he didn't want to bring up the money issue. Like I mean, that wouldn't even have. If you caught him in an open moment away, maybe he would say to his captains or some of his guys, look, this was a really. How could I turn down $95 million over 10 years?
Okay, so he could have taken questions. It could have gotten contentious. You betrayed us, you know. Then
that's not a question.
And then it's being recorded.
Right.
But you know how that stuff goes. If we're going to criticize him for anything, there's a lot bigger stuff to criticize him for. And that was only a minute I played you. There's three more minutes of that thing. Yeah. That went on. I don't think.
When you hear somebody say he only spent 4 minutes with his team saying goodbye, that sounds kind of callous and lacking detail. But when you hear it or you watch it, I didn't come away with the feeling that there was anything more that needed to be said.
I was talking about a wedding, a comparison to a wedding. Because, again, guys, it's my biggest advisement to you. If you are ever a best man, do not go 4 minutes.
No.
It's just what we say with our holiday parody songs. Everyone thinks they've got four golden minutes. It's too long. You can't hold someone's attention for that long. So, like, a four-minute speech is a long speech.
How long did Lincoln Riley talk to his kids when his team, I don't know that he did or he didn't, but did, like, he was still under contract with Oklahoma, wasn't he?
Did he? I don't know if he did or not.
Did he ever meet with his team? I mean, like, listen, and if he didn't.
Lincoln Riley did, yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
I mean,
do we have a time? Did they record him?
No, I don't know. I don't think it was long, but I know he met with the team.
Listen, this is the business of college football right now. Players have the option to get in the portal and leave school if things aren't the way that they want. They have the ability now, and hopefully that this will expand as well to benefit off their name, image, and likeness. That's the business side of it. These coaches are getting $10 million a year to coach football at the collegiate level. It is a business.
Yeah, there is one thing that I want the coaches to stop bitching about, though, okay? And I want to share that with you coming up. And there's also another meeting that went down. While we're talking about 4 minutes on this meeting, this was truly an insult. A seven-minute meeting today. 7 minutes for this happened today. Wait till you hear what that was. Don't forget three easy ways to listen. I told you 100.3 HD2. ESPN 1000 on the AM side, and download that ESPN Chicago app.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle 87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Away from the start of your weekend, join us at the Howard Street Inn on Friday. Waddle and I will be there. We'll be drinking ice cold Miller Lite. We can't wait to see you. Howard Street Inn has always been one of our favorites. It's in Niles, 6700 West Howard Street to be exact. So if you want to take in a Waddle and Sylvie live broadcast, celebrate the weekend, drink some ice cold Miller Lite, we hope to see you at the Howard Street Inn.
Come on out.
A couple of things. I want the coaches, here's the one thing I will say. I want the coaches to stop bitching about the transfer portal. Stop it.
Are they?
Well, yeah, they are. All the headaches the transfer portal is causing. This, the transfer portal. Look, you guys pick up and leave whenever you want. And you should.
Yes.
You do what's best for you. It's being a free agent. College, basically, the contracts aren't valid. No matter how long your contract is, you can always break that contract. There's buyouts and ways to get out of these deals. And if you want to pick up for $95 million and you want to leave, but don't for 1 second bitch about the transfer portal.
I haven't heard a lot of bitching about the transfer portal.
Doesn't Saban bitch about the transfer portal?
Well, who is transferring from? I would think people coming into him.
I think all college, but I think all the coaches
to,
are.
To couple with what you're saying about that, and I agree with your statement, I don't want to hear anybody bitching either that kids will decide not to play in a meaningless bowl game because they want to protect themselves from injuries as they go to the next level.
The coaches that know how to use the transfer portal,
they're not bitching about it. No, it benefits
them. Alabama got Tennessee's best defensive player and one of the best players in the country, Henry To'oTo'o, from the transfer portal.
Right. But hasn't he bitched in the past about it? Like, it's
no,
a headache?
I mean,
that the transfer portal's a big headache.
Well, I mean, he tries to get his guys to stay because he, you know, he's worried about depth of the team. And if you're not starting, and these kids just are like, well, I'm not starting here. I'm going to go to wherever other school, and I'm going to start there. Like, that's what he tries to avoid. He tries to avoid his own guys leaving, but you're damn right he's going to use it for his advantage.
Listen, yeah, this is my point. Yes, you should.
This is my point. This is a big business from both sides. Players, use the transfer portal if it's available to you. And also, if you feel like you're on a 6-6 team and you're playing in the Music City Bowl and you're projected to be a first or second round draft pick, and for whatever reason you decide that you don't want to take the risk of getting hurt there, which will jeopardize your status in the draft, look, that's your individual decision, and I wouldn't shame you for it.
And name, image, likeness, too.
All
I don't know if
stuff.
Any coaches are. Like, I want the students then to be empowered to do what they can do with their end.
Yeah, and I don't think any of the coaches are. I think we have entered into the beginning stages of what really is an all-encompassing business situation like professional sports. And the parties that are participating in it, coaches and players, need to. To basically understand that, not bitch at each other about one side or the other, using the business angles that they particularly have to better themselves. That's the reality of college sports right now.
You bring up a great point about the collegiate players who are ripped for not playing in a bowl game that doesn't figure in the playoffs right. Because they want to protect their health. When a coach who is leaving, look, it's up to him. He could do it.
Right.
He gave 12 years. Like, someone just gave me the heads up that Chris Zorich, one of the most well-known Notre Dame players. I was in college when Chris Zorich was doing his thing at Notre Dame.
Yeah, he and I were teammates here in Chicago as well.
Oh, my God. He was like, isn't he like the epitome of a Notre Dame player?
Yes.
He just doing stuff defensively. They still the half shirts in the day, too. Zorich was mad about his speech that Kelly gave today. It's in the not the speech going out, the speech going in that he's upset because he talked about trust.
Hey, guys, thanks for being here, obviously. My name is Brian Kelly, and I am your new head football coach. Look, it's day one. It's the first time you've met me, so I'm not here to win the press conference, okay? That's going to take time. You know, we're going to develop a relationship. It'll take time. It's built on trust. It's built on how we go to work every day. It's built on the things that we set as a standard within this program. Look, let me tell you why I'm here. I'm here because I wanted to coach the very best players in the country that are afforded the best resources in the country and play in the best conference in the country. That's an incredible challenge to a football coach. And I get that here, and I get a chance to work with the best athletic director, president, all in alignment to get to the end of winning a national championship. That's why we're here. That's why I took this job. I want to coach you. I want to develop you because my why, the reason why I do this, he found the why.
Yeah.
It's not to win games.
Nagy's jealous.
That's going to be a byproduct of what we do. My why is I love developing football players, student athletes, you guys. And when I talk about developing you, I mean physically, technically, tactically, mentally, in all facets.
Okay.
That player development is what drives me.
It's almost over.
So that's why I'm here. I get a chance to coach LSU football players, the best in the country.
Shorter speech than the one he gave to his previous team.
Well, and it seems
that
long,
have an administration that is aligned to that end. Why wouldn't I be here?
All right, so that was
and
Brian
this
Kelly's
beauty has got a sunroof. I put new tires on it, and we get 30 miles per gallon. Every one of these guys has got a used car salesman, you know, characteristic in him.
Yeah,
that's just the nature of the beast.
It was funny that you said, "Is this over already?" That was 2 minutes and 8 seconds. Yeah. Kelly was, and that seemed long. Kelly was criticized for 4 minutes. Like, there's a lot you can criticize Brian Kelly for. Can you really criticize him after giving 12 years to Notre Dame?
I believe only Newt Rockne stayed longer, right? 13
yes.
years?
And someone called in yesterday and saying that was the golden era of all the things of Notre Dame football, the modern day at least, that you're going to criticize him for that, for leaving?
Yeah.
For saying built on trust?
Look, it's an imperfect, it really is an imperfect product in a lot of different ways. A couple of things I would say is like, first of all, as the father of 3 student athletes, I always told my kids, this decision is yours. 3 of them, the 3 that played in college, all had a coach leave. Not the coach that recruited them. They all experienced a situation in their time at school where the coach left. And I always told my kids, make sure you decide finally that you are comfortable at the school you choose based on the school and all the surroundings and the academic opportunities and everything else. Don't go there specifically for the head coach, however nice and charming that person may be as they heap praise upon you as a student athlete coming out of high school, because there's a chance, there's a good chance that person will either be fired or move on.
Right.
That's the reality. So, like, you have to have a decent perspective from the very beginning of it. I would say this as well, and I think you mentioned it, and it's a great point. Both sides, you have the opportunity to use your leverage. So I don't want to hear anybody really bitching in terms of coaches bitching about the transfer portal or the players in some instances complaining about other things. I don't want to hear coaches complaining about student athletes sitting out meaningless bowl games to preserve their spot in the upcoming NFL draft. You know, this is a business now, and there are going to be some unsavory things that surround this business type transaction, but this is the reality of college football.
Matt in South Carolina, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Dabo, I'm from South Carolina, and Dabo Sweeney down here, allegedly the rumor is he hates the transfer portal because he's lost 20 players to it and he hasn't gotten one through it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, and how much does Dabo make? And how
right.
much is...
I mean, he's got no room to complain.
Dabo's looking out for himself, but yet it's a one-way street when it comes to the coaches. They could pick up and move.
He needs to learn how to use the portal.
Of course he does.
That's the reason they're down this year.
Well, yeah, and look, and that's what I'm saying. I'm okay with Brian Kelly picking up and leaving. I'm okay with Lincoln Riley going to USC. I'm okay with it. But don't bitch then when the players use their power in the limited capacity that they have these days. Name, image, likeness, a transfer portal. Don't bitch about it. Because we know you're always looking out for you. Did you see the story? There's a fun... It's a crazy story that's coming out that Brian Kelly, when he was at Central Michigan, had Robert Saleh and... Yeah. And the head coach of the Packers.
It was his brother, Mike LaFleur, right? Or was it Matt? Was it Matt or Mike?
I thought it was Matt.
No, it was Mike. It was his brother.
Because I was reading the Rob Domofsky story, and I thought it said Matt in it. I heard Carmen say it was Mike Patricia.
No, Mike LaFleur.
Mike LaFleur.
Mike LaFleur. But someone showed me the screenshot of it. Let me call this up. Maybe I got the wrong information. That they were grad assistants at Central Michigan when he was there. They were invited to one of his parties, but they were invited to shovel the snow out of the driveway and be valet drivers for the guests.
And they weren't compensated for it at all.
Yes. And they were then, I guess they looked at each other and they promised each other that they would never be jerks when they get in the coaching.
I think Saleh addressed it today at his press conference and kind of laughed about it. I don't know how in depth they went with it, but listen, such is life as a GA. I mean, like they are asked to do a ton of stuff for very little pay, but it's kind of that pecking order in the coaching profession. It's the process. It's not, like I said, it's like it's not this clean, tidy experience on a lot of fronts, for sure. This is what you're going to get. Like, and also at the same, by the same token, a coach can be fired and be moved on from, you know, quickly as well. Like,
Sylvia, you're right. It's Matt, yeah. And Mike's reference in the article too. With
that's what I
Robert
thought. I mean, they like, all I'm getting criticized there, yeah. That it's not Matt. It was Matt. It was Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Packers.
Okay, nobody was criticizing.
I know, but everyone's
you.
Like, "Oh boy, it's Mike."
Okay,
well, no, Mike is also a coordinator as
right,
well.
Right.
Yeah,
I know that he's the Jets' offensive coordinator who has no experience. I was just telling you what I read, then everyone jumped on me. 312-332-3776. A way to do it. There's a way to do it. If you want to weigh in, I want to get to the 7-minute labor meeting. I also want to discuss the Rick Hahn press conference as well, or was it his brother Dave Hahn? We'll find out next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
We'll spin you some of the new holiday parody songs coming up in just a little bit. Rick Hahn also spoke today. The lockout will start tonight at midnight. The players and the players' union and the owners met in a hotel, according to Jeff Passan, for 7 minutes today. And then they ended the meeting.
Sounds like a meeting that shouldn't even have begun.
Or were they just there to compare notes to see how many miles away they are? I mean,
well, they've been meeting, haven't they, for quite some time now? I don't think this was the first bout of meetings. I think that they had been meeting. Didn't they meet yesterday? I think Passan was telling us they were meeting yesterday as well. Look, this is odd to me that they would even get together today for 7 minutes. I'm with you on that front. But I was not delusional with some thought that they were going to come to some agreement.
It says, after a 7-minute meeting with top union officials, MLB negotiators are leaving the hotel where bargaining has taken place. It's unclear whether they'll return, and if they don't, that could be the last discussion before the lockout. And then, of course, we're going to hear about this in December. We're going to hear about this in January. It's going to be Passan told us yesterday it could be into February, and then hopefully in the first part of February, they get it solved, and just like a lot of players are signing now, the deadline brings action. I just wish they can just work together. It's been 25 years, believe it or not, without any labor problems.
I find it hard to believe that they're going to go to work on time in the spring. I really do. I hope I'm wrong.
Really?
Yes.
So you think like pitchers and catchers will be delayed?
I can't imagine they'll be on time. I just think that the chasm between the two on so many different fronts is going to take longer than the allotted time they have between now and the start of spring training. I just can't see them getting on the same page.
Did they go late this past year because of COVID? Because remember, 2 years ago, it was interrupted. COVID happened. They were at camp. COVID happened. And then all of a sudden, we had the long delay in a 60-game season.
They may have because they had to cross some T's and dot some I's with other COVID-related issues.
That would be like the third year in a row you wouldn't get a normal spring training.
Yeah.
And I just think that everyone's been through so much that if you guys can't come up with something, that's a shame.
No doubt, but if you're the Players Association, you can't give in again on you know, what's that called? Service time.
Yeah.
You just can't. That's a non-starter for the Players Association, isn't it?
Like, you can't just go to free agency at 29 when no one's handing out a deal at 29.
Right. I mean, that's a non-starter. It has to be. Another non-starter has to be that there has to be a minimum. You can't be in this arena now and have a payroll of $40 million. You just can't.
You can't.
So if I'm
140 is low.
Right.
$140 million payroll in today's game is low.
I think I saw that prior to, didn't the Mariners sign Robbie Wright? Was it the Mariners?
Yes.
Or did the Mariners sign somebody? But the Mariners, before they signed whoever it was they signed, I think that their 2022 salary commitments were at like 50-some million dollars. I mean, it's just you. That's a non-starter for the players. Has to be. So I just don't know how you get from where. Do you think that the owners are going to give up service time that easily?
No, they don't want to give up anything. Because they know the union usually caves, like you were saying. That the
and the Players Association has a pretty... I think the Baseball Players Association is a pretty strong one, too. But then I heard Greeny talking about a proposed expansion of the postseason and how that would all work. I would think both sides that would be willing to have that as part of the agreement because it creates more revenue streams.
Whether you like it, the DA, you give on a lot of these things the owners want, and then you go to work on the one thing you want.
Yes.
And you say, give us this. We got to get something here. This is Rick Hahn. How aggressive have the White Sox been? He met the media around 1 o'clock today. A lot of Sox fans, at least here in the early part when a lot of free agents are signing, haven't been happy with the way they've been aggressive or the lack thereof. And he was asked, how aggressive has your team been?
So, no, I like to talk about deals that we complete, not deals that aren't complete or guys that sign elsewhere, just sort of the nature of how we handle things. It's been a very busy month, and right now, at December 1st, the two additions we have since the end of the year are Leury and Kendall Graveman. Another oldie but a goodie that we talk about seemingly every December at the winter meetings. The opening day roster is not due in December. It's due come opening day. Fully expect there to be further additions over the course of the next several months, and for the team to look better on opening day than it does today. And if we're once again blessed with the ability to stay in contention through the summer, I suspect it's going to look even better after the trade deadline than it looks on opening day. The goal is obviously remains the same, to be in as strong a position to be in the postseason and succeed in the postseason come next fall. Today's December 1st. Feel like we're better than we were on November 1st, and that work's going to continue right up until opening day and through the trade deadline next summer.
Rick Hahn. The old, it's not our opening day roster in December.
Yeah. And he's right. He's got time. Like, I get it. But I just would hate to go to the gate with a team that didn't address their right field or their second base position or, again, add something of note to their rotation.
As of today, this was, I wrote this last night. Were there any signings today, guys? I haven't seen anything. But this was as of last night. The top free agent people who are still available: Carlos Correa, Freddie Freeman, Nick Castellanos, Chris Bryant, Trevor Story, Kyle Schwarber, Michael Conforto, Chris Taylor, Anthony Rizzo, Kyle Seager, Jorge Soler, Nelson Cruz, Andrew McCutchen, Jack Peterson. That's still a really good list.
Yeah. Did you say Chris Bryant? Was he in there too?
Yes, okay. Chris Bryant's on there. Schwarber and Conforto... A lot of people and Peterson have been sort of tied to the White Sox in the past, that could be a really good fit for them.
I agree with Rick. They've got time, but
it's not like there won't be anyone available when they do pull up the curtain on the free agency after the new deal goes in place.
I just want to be a fly on the wall when they have their budget meetings, because as I said yesterday, I think what Rick Hahn may want to do and what Rick Hahn is allowed to do may be separate conversations.
Here's Hahn, and this is what you're talking about. Is there room in your payroll for one of these big contracts?
Well, you're asking two different questions. One is whether there is 2022 payroll room for a big number. I would say entering the offseason, the answer to that question was yes. The second part was whether there was contracts as a whole that made sense for the long term of the club. That's a different element. Going to the payroll, we were going to wind up once again, I believe, in 2022 with a record payroll for this club. From my perspective, it will be more than adequate to field a championship caliber club, and that's what our mission is down the hall.
You heard Rick Hahn basically tell you that we don't operate like a major market team.
He said about a contract that fit. Wouldn't Carlos Correa's contract fit?
They don't. Well, what's the largest deal the Sox have ever signed in history? Like, have they signed a $100 million contract?
No, it was a recent one, wasn't it?
Was it Grandal? Is that someone brought up recently?
Yeah, I think that was the
total package of a deal. What's the largest that they've ever signed?
Free agent contract. I think you're right.
Because
it was Grandal.
Like, and remember, the thing they always said to Sox fans when they were after Machado, that they thought their offer was the best. It wasn't, obviously. San Diego's was. They always said there would be that money. Now, I don't want to hear in comparison to you. I want to hear in comparison to the other big market deals who are on the championship doorstep. Like, there's you. Okay, so you didn't get Machado. Are you going to be in the Trevor Story conversation and get creative with what you do at shortstop? Are you going to be in the conversation for Correa?
You should be. I mean, you're a team that is ready to take that next step. You've taken a step sideways the last 2 years in the postseason. Getting to the postseason is no longer, you know, like I always talk about, get to your Final Four. That should be your goal. And it's certainly with what this team has been able to put together, getting to the ALCS should be doable for them.
It sounds like to me like they did back in the day with Albert Bell, that they would be willing to do a short-term big money deal. But they don't want to be in one of these 10-year, 7-year, 8-year contracts with the commitment of that money over the long period of time.
I get that, but sometimes you got to endure a little pain to get to the top of the mountain, right? I mean, there is some, you can't always do it in a comfortable fashion. Like, this has all been fantastic. All of their key players have been signed to really good, reasonable, you know, not contracts that are taking advantage of the players, but they've been, a lot of them have been team-friendly deals, haven't they?
Yep.
So,
You got one side of town where the fans are really pissed at the owner because they've slashed payroll. You got the other side of the town who is saying, well, this is our record high. Are Sox fans mad hearing that? That sounds to me more like something you would hear the Rays say or the Royals say, or give me another small town team.
The Royals?
Yeah, the Royal, like to me, the Rays and the Royals and the Pirates. Something the Pirates would have said. The Reds back in the day when they were in contention. Yeah. When the Pirates were there in 12, 13, 14, 15. Like, should the White Sox general manager be saying that? This is Chicago, 332-3776. If you want to weigh in, there are new holiday parody songs. You guys brought it yesterday.
Yes, you did.
The guys asked for you guys to get more original. You did. There were some great entries. I saw Tracy Butler walking from the ABC 7 studio. She said those parody songs had me dying in my car yesterday. So we'll play some more for you coming up. Plus Dan Weider from Bears Camp, and there's also Bulls news to relay.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Talking some baseball, hot stove baseball. Rick Hahn says his payroll is big enough to win a championship, but they do have room on this year's payroll to add a major salary. Says it's a different question when you're asking for multi-year high salary. Is that what you want to hear in Chicago? 332-3776.
I think he's accurate. Like, you can win it. Like, their payroll is currently at, like, what, $160 million? They're going to get rid of Kimbrel 16, but they'll add some. Like, yeah, if all of your guys perform and you have a smaller margin for error with a smaller payroll, in my opinion, can you win a World Series with $160 million payroll? Sure you can. But wouldn't you rather take some of, the mystery away from the equation by adding a bat second, or a left-handed bat in right field, or maybe another starter in your rotation?
Yeah.
Like, I think that gives you a better chance. Doesn't guarantee you. But that's the one thing that big market teams have the ability to do that smaller market teams don't. It doesn't guarantee that you're going to win a World Series, but you do have the capacity to buy yourself out of some of your own financial mistakes. Like, if you mentioned the Tampa Bay Rays or the Royals or other teams, if they go out and they spend a ton of money on big free agents here or there and they don't work out, they don't have the capacity in a lot of instances to buy themselves out of their own mistakes. A team like the White Sox or the Cubs do, because you're in a big market where you have other revenue streams.
Yep. So if you want to weigh in, 332-3776, the holiday parody song competition continues. It was strong yesterday, as I said before the break. You can enter at ESPNParody.com. Entries allowed through December 10th. That's a week from this Friday. We will name a top five. Those finalists will perform with us at our holiday party, Ballydoyle in Aurora. That's where the holiday party is going to take place. Save the date for Bally Doyle in Aurora. It's all brought to you by our great friends at Miller Lite, that's located at 28 West New York Street. The winner will receive $1,000 in cash, two VIP four-day passes to Country Thunder, and $50 Shady Rays gift card. It's pretty good.
That's nice.
And all the other four finalists will get stuff, too. You will get, for simply being a finalist, Doug Banks, two four-day passes to Country Thunder and a $50 gift card to Shady Rays. And all of you guys will get a White Sox prize pack that will include six ticket vouchers and a White Sox scarf and hat. Boys, the group brought it strong yesterday. Do we have any more that we will like today?
We'll let you guys be the judge here. Right, I think we have some interesting songs for you right now. A song that we didn't get to yesterday. We had a lot of them yesterday. Trey Tunes submitted this one. You guys were asking for non-Bears related topics. How about this song called People, Man?
I mean,
I'm trying as hard as
I can. Have you heard enough?
I think if it wasn't Trey Tunes, we would have cut this off 20 seconds ago.
But Trey's one of our favorites.
He's one of the most lovable, huggable guys in our audience.
He makes great t-shirts. Yeah. He's a loyal fan.
I don't think that should sway us.
No.
That was that good, Trey.
Yeah.
People man.
Yeah.
People man, Trey.
Guys, yeah. Trey, I mean, he took a. This is like, I feel like this is his 808s and Heartbreak. For those of you that don't know.
What does that mean?
So that's
it's a little slower.
So Kanye was making rap for a while, right? And then 808s, he kind of went all emo and emotional on everybody, and he decided to sing, but he used auto-tune.
Still a great album.
Yeah. I feel like this is Trey Tunes being like, I'm going to sing, guys. Like, this is Trey Tunes' heat check. Like, this is him pulling up from the logo.
Yeah. You know what? It hit the top of the backboard.
Well, if you guys
didn't like that.
Wait for this.
Okay. You know what? Hold on, though. Before a message to Trey, maybe the Twitchers can get this to him. Where's the banger? He's made bangers. Trey is known.
He's building up for the banger.
For bangers.
The banger's
he's
coming soon.
He's lowering the bar so low.
Yeah, the banger's coming.
We get it, we're like, oh, Trey. Yeah.
By the way, I saw another Taylor Swift I Hate a Certain Guy song today.
Oh, really? Who is this at?
I think it's at Jake Gyllenhaal.
Again, Jake Gyllenhaal?
Like, this one is I Bet You're Thinking of Me. I think it's a duo with Chris Stapleton, but I saw the video today.
Did I hear right that they only dated for 3 months?
Yes. And she's got at least two, maybe three.
Yeah. How many years later?
It was like 2010 or 11.
Yeah, but you guys know that she's just re-recording her albums.
Yeah, yeah, it's not new. It's not a new song.
These aren't new songs.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is
No.
She's adding some new ones.
Well, Chris Stapleton's a part of this one.
That's part of the new one.
She re-recorded
all the other stuff, like 90% of that album is old stuff.
I'm just telling you, this particular song was definitely,
the song that she performed on SNL two weeks ago about Jake Gyllenhaal, that's not a new song. That's
an
old song
that she just extended. Yes.
She re-recorded it and extended it because she doesn't own her masters because her manager's a bag.
This one is a new one with Chris Stapleton, and it's another shot at Jake Gyllenhaal.
Boy, the musicians really get raked over the coals with their contracts, too.
Oh, it's awful.
It's like college football players.
Well, they make some money.
Yes.
I think Taylor's doing all right.
The creative control thing has always been interesting. Correct.
She does not have a transfer portal that she can apply for, I don't believe.
All right, what else? So you say there's no good ones, though?
Well, this is okay. Dennis Sweetin gives us You Call the Plays.
I'll call the plays, you call the plays. Wait, I'll call plays, no, you call plays. Flip, you call plays, no, I'll call plays. Lays, you call plays, no, I'll call plays. Somebody call these doggone plays. Wait, you call plays, no. I'll call plays. Hold the Denny's menu to my face so you cannot see me calling plays. You call the plays. I'll call the plays. Flip, you call plays. Lays, you call plays.
See, I like it. I know. I know you guys that got me in a better mood. That was a good one. I thought you maybe Bears'd out, but that's the essence of the contest.
No, that's a good one. It's short, sweet, short, funny.
And it's a funny message because it's true.
Listen, it's the same way that I like the one that BU, blank you. Like, you're going to humor me with some of that stuff.
You guys want to get really strange, or you want to hear from Gideon? Which would you like to do?
Isn't that redundant?
I was just going to say, isn't that one of the same?
I think we should play both of these two songs, but we only have time for one at this
Gideon.
Moment.
Give us Gideon.
Here's Gideon. Houses Divided.
Chicago Cup, Chicago Cup, so how my wife loves you.
All right, done. No, I can't even hear it. I love you, Gideon. I'm happy you and your wife are, you know, enjoying marriage.
Oh, no. No.
He's doing it to Hanukkah. Oh, Hanukkah, too. But it's terrible.
My ALLC flag is waving high.
Too loud with the music, too.
I don't think he knew where to position the recorder. Phrasing.
All right. I got to play this one. Irwin Van Bowen. Shaving bears.
What?
You heard him.
Yeah.
Big cross that. Ready to shave.
Clip those.
I know, but that's
number
not...
two clipper.
Waddle, if I could tell people how I shave.
Christmas time is near. Bears still suck. I need a beer. We need something to distract. Manscaping. That's where it's at. Neggy says it starts with me. Leader of men, do want to be free. Silky smooth, I'll tell you what. I'm not an idiot. A new regime.
My faith meter is very low right now. My faith meter is
low. Try to warn you guys.
Fight. Stop your shaving. Bring it in. We still want the Bears to win.
If he's saying that he wants Matt Nagy to grow
Justin
out the hair.
Justin Fields will say.
I quit paying attention like 30 seconds
ago. No matter who will stay.
Oh boy. So the contest is wide open.
Wide
as you can
open.
Wide open. ESPN parody. What are you doing?
House divided.
ESPNparody.com. ESPNparody.com. We'll talk Bears with Dan Weeder in 2 short minutes.
ALLC flag is waving high.